Good morning from WKYT News. I'm Bill Bryant. We welcome you to Kentucky Newsmakers. Today, a program that's likely to highlight the differences in Kentucky's urban and rural areas and maybe some things they have in common. Later, we'll get up to date with SOAR, Shaping Our Appalachian Region. SOAR's Executive Director Colby Hall joins us shortly to talk about initiatives that may improve life in eastern Kentucky. But first, time really is ticking down in the Kentucky legislative session. Republicans dominate in both chambers, and we have talked with GOP leaders in recent weeks. But Democrats have their ways of getting their messages out and sometimes passing bills despite their small numbers. Senator Reggie Thomas of Lexington is Minority Caucus Chair and an outspoken advocate for education, equality, and the state's urban areas. Thomas is on several powerful committees and has represented Lexington and Frankfort since 2014. Senator, welcome. We appreciate you coming.
Bill, it's good to see you again, as always.
Well, same here. The Republican-led legislature's passed a lot of bills that you have opposed. How important is it that for you to speak out on issues, even when you know that you don't have the votes to knock something down?
Well, Bill, there's a couple of reasons. And the first is that you have to speak the truth to people. And you have to speak the truth to those in power and tell them when they're wrong and tell them why they're wrong and point out there's a better way. And I strongly believe that. I'm not shy about saying that. And I believe I'm right. And I always want this state to do the right thing. So that's my first motivation. Secondly, you have to understand, I'm not alone in what I say. There are thousands, maybe probably millions of Kentuckians who feel the exact same way that I do. But because of gerrymandering or because of their location, they don't have the kind of representation that they would want to have their representatives, the representatives they would elect, say the things that I say. And others say, it's not just me, there are others in the Senate as well. So those are the two primary reasons why I do that.
Would you say that there are issues on which the legislature is out of step with the mindset of the majority of Kentuckians?
Oh, I definitely would say that. Absolutely, I would say that. Kentuckians are generally forward-thinking people, and they're people who generally get along with different cultures and different groups. I mean, you travel throughout the state, and you don't see instances where people just say negative things to each other. I mean, I was listening to the news today about what's going on in Massachusetts, and they're having a slave auction ring in Massachusetts. You don't hear about that in Kentucky, you know. So I think Kentuckians are level-headed, fair-minded, reasoned people. So I think some of the legislation that comes across, not all of it, but some legislation that comes to the floor is really out of step with the thinking of most Kentuckians.
The most important thing you do is a budget, and by most accounts, the spending plan is going to increase some money in a lot of areas. There are a lot of projects. There are not guaranteed raises for teachers. There is more money for education. How do you feel about what is likely to emerge as a spending plan?
Well, Bill, I will say this. I think we're missing a golden opportunity with regard to public education in a couple of respects. One, we do need to pay teachers more. I completely agree with the governor's thinking that an 11% pay raise or something in that area is appropriate. Teachers are underfunded, and there's no question that we ask them to do a whole lot in terms of having to fill out reports, having to attend a lot of meetings, going through a lot of public professional development courses. I mean, we have to spend probably as many hours non-teaching as we do teaching. And they have to spend some of their own money getting their classrooms together. They need to be paid more. They need to be treated like professionals. We're missing a golden opportunity here.
A school choice amendment is going on the ballot. It would allow tax dollars to be diverted to private or charter schools under the state constitution. Of course, that would still be up to the legislature. Do you oppose the amendment?
I absolutely oppose the amendment, and I tell you why. Because I think an 1891 bill we got it right. We said we want to set up a system of common schools that's going to be publicly funded for the benefit of generations of Kentuckians, which means common schools means public schools. And we've been doing that quite well now, Bill, for over 130 years. Now, all of a sudden, we want to change that policy and say we want to allow public money, taxpayers' money, to go into the hands of private owners of private owners of schools, not public schools, private owners of schools, private schools, and use those hard-earned tax dollars to benefit private companies, private individuals for private purposes. That is taking us down a path, Bill, that will destroy public education and really create, Bill, a widening gap among classes.
Do you look for a vigorous campaign on that issue?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
The Safer Kentucky Act, as it is called, would create a three strikes rule for violent crimes, make some other changes. That is House Bill 5. Its supporters say crime is both an urban and rural problem. Statistics show there has been a downward trend, though, in many crimes across Kentucky. Could you have supported a more narrowly tailored crime bill? This one also, this is what, 76 pages and includes homeless camping.
Bill, let me begin by, the answer to the question is yes. I would have supported several measures in that crime bill. We all want to see crime continue to go down. I mean, we want to pursue a course that would eliminate crime. That will probably never happen, but we certainly want to see a downward trend. And I must point out, Bill, since we're here in Lexington having this conversation now, that Lexington has done it the right way. Mayor Gordon, under her leadership, with the help of Divine Karam and others, has reduced the murder rate almost in half in 1 year. We've seen violent crime cut back by 50%. And we did that by community engagement, by going out and talking to youth, by setting up programs that benefit people in various communities. That's how you do it. We've tried the lock them up and throw away the key approach, Bill, in the 1980s and the 1990s, and we saw that didn't work. All that did was elevate crime and raise crime. You cut back crime by getting the community engaged and committed to working with law enforcement to cut back crime. So, and those who propose this bill will tell you, they don't care about the data. They just want to lock more people up in prison, which is a very expensive proposition. More than $1 million going into destroying families, severing families for minor offenses, and spending all that money in prisons rather than in schools and in health care and in other sources that benefit all of us.
Do you think this homeless piece of this will work itself out, or do you think we're likely to see a difference in how homelessness is dealt with when this becomes law?
Bill, before this legislative session, no one ever thought of homelessness being a crime. By and large, people who are homeless suffer from some form of mental illness. It's an issue that needs to be dealt with carefully in ways that provide treatment and counseling. It's not a crime. And why we're deciding that taxpayer dollars need to put these people in jails rather than treatment is bad policy.
There is also an area that has gotten a lot of discussion, but so far no action, and that is on child care. And Kentucky faces sort of a cliff later this year when the federal supports run out for child care that were passed during the COVID era. The most aggressive piece of legislation proposed is the Horizons Act. Senator Carroll from Western Kentucky, it's about $300 million. There seems to be some sticker shock about that. And now a question as to whether much will be done in that area.
Well, let me begin by saying, Bill, and you know this, I've been a staunch advocate for universal pre-K. We need to get four-year-olds in school early, get them trained in social skills, get them reading at an elementary level, doing math at elementary level, get them in school early so that they can have, all children can have a better chance to succeed. If you got money, you do that already. But I'm talking about, regardless of one's income, having four-year-olds in school. with that said, we need to make sure, Bill, that we do protect the child care industry, because under their business model, and I want your viewers to understand this, they begin to make their money when children are 3 years old and up. There is, dealing with small infants, newborns, 0 to 3, is a lost leader for them. And we want to see families, women, men who want to go to work, be able to do that and be able to have affordable child care so they can go out and earn money, be taxpayers, raise their family properly, give them a good income, good household advantages. And so we need to do both.
Why, Senator, does it appear to have stalled when even the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce and business groups have pushed this along with the legislature?
Oh, Bill, quite honestly, I have my suspicions. I think there's a reason why the budget we're likely to see, it's big on one-time spending, but not big on recurring spending. I think we're going to regret that down the road.
Is that to position the state for an additional cut to the income tax?
I think that's a big motivation in the minds of some people. But again, in doing so, we're cheating our children, we're cheating families out of opportunities that can benefit them now and in the future.
Many Democrats have called for, and some Republicans said, that there was likely to be consideration of a bill that would grant some exceptions to the state's abortion ban in cases of rape or incest. Last week, the Senate Majority Floor Leader, Damon Thayer, said on this program the votes are not there for that. Will that continue to be an issue in the Commonwealth?
Well, not just in the Commonwealth, but all over this country, because it's clear that Kentuckians and Americans think we ought to have some kind of reasonable exceptions to in the case of abortion, rape, incest. You know, people think that those are clearly common sense exceptions where women ought to have abortion. We ought to be talking about, Bill, you know, something along the lines of, you know, when women can reasonably have healthcare options that are consistent with one's choice. To say no, and deny any option toward a woman's choice with regards to how she wants to deal with her pregnancy. It's just not something Americans want.
You talked about this one-time spending in the budget. Is there anything for Lexington that you believe will be in there, or that you're still pushing for?
Right, and I'm glad you raised that, because I don't want to be negative about the budget. Again, I think there are missed opportunities, and I want to be able to express those. But one good thing we're doing for Lexington. I've also been an advocate for affordable housing. As you know, I was opposed to the legislature eliminating cities having source of income bans. But they are appropriating $10 million for a very good project out on the north end of Lexington, near North Broadway, the North Broadway I-74, I-64 interchange. And we're going to fund that project, and that's going to be a very good very good for the city of Lexington.
Colby Hall from SOAR is coming up to talk about Appalachia, and we have a few seconds left, Senator. You have said, though you represent clearly the most urban of the urban areas in the state, that you believe that more can be done for Eastern Kentucky.
Not only more can be done, Bill, but more should be done. And I realize you're running up against a time constraint, but I'll tell you three things. One, we need to finish the Mountain Parkway. And then, Bill, look at what other kind of four-lane highways, maybe an interstate, can be built, you know, through Pikeville and beyond. We need to have improved roadway access in Eastern Kentucky. That's number one. Number two, Bill, we need to look at having some kind of regional airport in that area, in Pikeville. They'll bring back that can connect with Lexington, connect with Louisville, connect with Charleston, connect with Nashville. And number three, and we're going to talk about this in the coming interim session, about having a four-year college down there. It's time we look at having a four-year college. In that area, if you live in Far Eastern Kentucky, you're 2.5 hours, 3 hours away from the nearest state university. Here in Lexington, Bill, you're 1 hour away from 6 state universities.
Senator Reggie Thomas, thanks for coming as always. Really,
thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We'll be back. Colby Hall here from SOAR on Kentucky Newsmakers in just a moment.
Welcome back to WKYT's Kentucky Newsmakers. I'm Bill Bryant. Kentucky's Appalachian region is slowly coming back to life. Cities and counties are rediscovering their history and capitalizing on it. Businesses are eyeing the region as road improvements and expanded broadband is making the region more accessible than ever. One mantra in the mountains these days is no holler left behind. There's talk of a possible four-year university in Hazard, and the region is aggressively taking on the opioid crisis, improving health care access, and seeing some success in both those areas. This spring, there will be an event to celebrate the rich tradition of country music. So, Shaping Our Appalachian Region, or SOAR, is dedicated to reversing population losses and pushing for big wins in the region. Colby Hall is Executive Director of SOAR, and he joins us to get us up to date. Good to see you, and thanks for coming.
Well, thanks so much for the invitation to be here, Bill.
You have to start out every day with some enthusiasm and some realism about Appalachia. Right? You know, does it seem that people are becoming more committed than ever before?
Yeah, I think so. I think my wife wonders if I drink too much coffee sometimes, Bill. But no, I think that's one of the best parts about Eastern Kentucky, right, are its people and that energy and the spirit of the region. People have been through a lot in the eastern part of the state, have survived a lot, persevered through a lot. And really that dedication and that persistence, it's crucial to where we have to go in the future. So I would say absolutely yes.
You have to look at things long term, and you've been doing that. What are some of the big challenges ahead that need to be taken on?
Yeah, we try to take at SOAR a really long term look ahead, Bill. I mean, we realize kind of Eastern Kentucky's current situation really has been decades in the making, generations with some of these challenges. And so we feel like we've got to keep a look 50 years ahead, 30 years ahead, where do we want to be? I would call out two things, though. I would call out population loss, and I would call out what's called prime age employment. So our 25 to 54-year-olds, what's typically considered the core, the rock of your workforce, I would say those are two things that, you know, right now we're not where we need to be, but over the next 2 to 3 decades, the region is got to get in a better direction.
And isn't that intertwined? Because the young people see the job opportunities that their parents had or didn't have, right?
It absolutely is. I think it's both. It's, you know, there's a high school class that graduates, at least one in every county in the region every year. There's college grads that leave and want to come back. That's a population that we have to think about. What do career opportunities look like for them? How do we not just get them a job, but a job that they can, everybody wants to get promoted, Bill. Everybody wants to make more money. Everybody wants to have a family, right? So there's certain job opportunities for them, but at the same time, what we know, there are also tens of thousands of folks that are maybe in the 35 to 54 range that are in the region already that have fallen outside the workforce. So what does it look like? What strategies to get them back into employment? But we need both of them. Right, we need to find more opportunities for both of those types of people, and that's ultimately going to lead back to more population.
How much are broadband improvements contributing to a new sense of enthusiasm or at least accessibility for the region?
It's hard to describe just how much of a game changer, and I try not to be cliche, but it is the biggest thing since rural electrification in the 30s and in the 40s. I credit a lot to Congressman Hal Rogers, who is our co-principal officer, co-founding officer. Governor Steve Beshear and Congressman Rogers were the brainchild behind the Kentucky Wired Project. Governor Andy Beshear has continued that dedication to this. His Office of Broadband Development and Megan Sanfis, they are overseeing the largest investment in last mile broadband in the history of the country and definitely the history of the state. So broadband's huge. There's a lot of stuff that's actually, most stuff in Eastern Kentucky is hard, Bill, when it comes to infrastructure. Everybody knows that. Roads, water, everything is more expensive, more costly, more time consuming. Broadband's not easy either, but what I would say is excites about broadband is if we can get that right, not that the other things become, they're still important. Obviously water's still important, roads are more important, but internet gives us access in a different way. It maybe makes those things where we're not out of the game completely.
It fights the isolation.
Yes,
right?
It absolutely does.
The Mountain Parkway improvements continue. It's soon going to be a much easier trip from Lexington all
already
the way to Pikeville. Yeah, certainly the improvements are ongoing. But that's another game changer.
That's huge.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, people notice when a place is easy to get to or not, and isolation, to your point, and just distance in Appalachia in the eastern part of the state has always been something that has worked against us. And investments like in the Mountain Parkway, and you know, there's talks of the Hal Rogers Parkway too, and how do we get the rest of it four-laned? And those are two huge projects in the long-term future of the region.
One of Soros' tenets is we press on even when it may seem easier to quit. Have you come to appreciate the grit of the people there and the ideas that they are willing to come to the table with?
Yeah, I mean, I think the ethos of our organization takes from the region as a whole, and it is persistence. It is not letting the first no get you down, Bill. I mean, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. If it's broadband, healthy communities, small business entrepreneurship, typically there's not an easy path towards where you want to be. So you've got to be creative. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be gritty. And so our organization is just representative of the communities, the cities, and the counties that we serve.
The opioid crisis has been and continues to be devastating, certainly. And yet there is a treatment available more quickly now, more resources, more support for those in recovery. How key is that, and is the corner being turned?
I think so. I think we have a lot of partners in this, and there's a lot of great organizations in the region that are attacking this. I mean, it was really sad that the eastern part of the state, Bill, became the epicenter of this crisis, but how does the saying go? Out of crisis comes opportunity, right? Or it forces us to innovate. And I think because of that, Kentucky has been seen a leader in a lot of ways on the recovery. I think what we've been most excited about, again, crisis creating more opportunity, you know, COVID and some of the workforce challenges that employers have seen, you know, no longer was there's this plentiful workforce that was available for them. So it forced, I think, employers to look outside the box in terms of, you know, some of these requirements, some of these things that we're asking for applicants, are they actually needed?
So or, second chance employment has been
exactly,
very important.
Exactly. Yeah. It's huge. Because we know, I mean, everybody, nobody's perfect, Bill. Everybody deserves a second chance. I think most Americans, definitely most Kentuckians, believe that. And I think because of that, and after this need for employers, it's been a huge win. I'm not saying it's easy for folks coming out of recovery, but it seems like there's been a real shift with most employers. They've been much more open to looking at second chance employment and folks exiting recovery. And it's critical for those people too, that they've got to find gainful employment to get that sense of purpose back in their lives.
You brainstorm a lot at SOAR. You have a pitch competitions, right, where people come up with ideas and maybe compete for some funding that may be available. And you have one of those coming up in April.
That's right. That's right, in Ashland, our Startup Appalachia Pitch Competition. We've had a great partnership with Community Trust Bank, who's been our main supporter there, and KY Innovation, which is the state's arm for entrepreneurship, high growth startups, and we're fortunate to be the hub in the eastern part of the state. And so we know we have a lot of good ideas in the mountains, Bill. There's a lot of people that are trying to start businesses and we want to try to give them access to the same resources that they would get in other places across the country, because we don't feel like anybody should be penalized for being in a, you know, being born someplace and then not having that access. Our pitch competition is one way we do that. I mean, we're going to be giving away, you know, $15,000 total in prizes. So I mean, first place gets $10,000. I mean, that's a good chunk of money. So it's a great event, and it's open to the public too, Bill. So we encourage anybody to, you know, that's interested in coming out to join us.
There's a Country Music Highway tribute show coming up this summer. You know, and from Loretta Lynn to Chris Stapleton and many, many stars in between. We have so much rich country music tradition in eastern Kentucky as well, and you're going to celebrate that.
We are. I'll be quite honest with you. I feel like every couple of weeks there's another name that I didn't realize was connected, that had been a star in the past, that had their roots in eastern Kentucky. It really is amazing. This event has been a lot of fun, Bill, putting it on. There's 13 counties, I mean, give or take, about more than 13, but 13 directly on the highway from, you know, Boyd County all the way down to Letcher County. And this event is a way to try to regionalize this asset. A lot of people come from all over the country and in the world. They visit Butcher's Holler, I mean, the home of Loretta Lynn and things like that. But we also see this as an opportunity to lift up our current talent, right? The folks that haven't made it just yet. We see this as a event as to celebrate their original content and to maybe make it their path a little bit easier. I mean, there's been all this talent found organically in Eastern Kentucky. Could this event make it easier for the next generation?
More information on that and how to get involved with SOAR on your website,
right?
Which is?
www.soar-ky.org.
One more quick question. There is this study to consider making Hazard Community College a four-year university. Are you monitoring that possibility?
Of course. I mean, we're always interested in all that, but we know there's a lot of really smart people that are spending a lot of time looking at that, and we look forward to more information coming out.
All right. Colby, thanks. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
Colby Hall from SOAR. We'll be back on Kentucky Newsmakers in a moment. We do want to thank you for joining us for this edition of Kentucky Newsmakers, and a programming note that Lieutenant Governor Jacqueline Coleman is one of our scheduled guests next week on Kentucky Newsmakers. Thank you again for joining us, and you make it a good week ahead.